Luke chapter 5. The message today is Peter's Progressive Pilgrimage. You can remember that. Peter's Progressive Pilgrimage. He is the one in the New Testament that is named that speaks of our pilgrimage. I want to read several passages. Starting in Luke 5. Our Savior has been using Peter's boat to preach from, and when he gets through, he wants to reward him. And he says in verse 4, cut this down a little. In verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners in the other boat, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was amazed, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Now, John 6. Our Savior at the first gives elementary teachings, and then his teaching becomes deeper and deeper. And verse 66 says this, upon this many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Jesus said therefore unto the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus answered them, did not I choose you the 12, and one of you is a devil? Now he spake of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I mention the different reading when Peter answered. He said, Lord, we believe and are sure that you are the Holy One of God. Perhaps I'll tell you more about that later. Now, Matthew 16. Verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the part of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. Now, you could wish that this next part was left out, but, verse 21, from that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that you have given us the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We are thankful, Father, that you have not left us to listen to the hearsay of men. And let us know that we've read some passages, and we desire to think about many more. And we pray that your Spirit shall interpret these passages for us. Let us understand the things that you have told us about Peter and about ourselves, and let us believe them. We look to you for good. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Everyone at a particular time trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior. Those who had passed from death unto life, it was at a particular moment. You may not know when that moment was. Some of us do. Some do not. But in the New Testament, since I began teaching you last week about the introduction of Simon Peter of Bethsaida to Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, I was thinking about all of those who became followers of Christ and the time when they did begin to follow the Lord Jesus. And every one of them was led to Christ by someone. Let me tell you how it began. I say everyone was led to Christ. John the Baptist led John and Andrew to the Savior. Andrew led his brother Peter to the Savior. And in the will of God, I will tell you next week about how many Peter led to the Savior. But the important thing is this, that everyone introduced you to the Savior if you've ever known him. Do you know who introduced John the Baptist to the Lord Jesus? God the Father. He said, I did not know who the Messiah was. He said, but God told me, upon whomsoever you shall see the Spirit descending and abiding, this is the Messiah. And at his baptism, the Spirit of God descended as a dove upon him, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so the Father introduced John the Baptist to the Savior. That's a remarkable thing, that it started with the Father himself introducing John the Baptist to Christ. And then John the Baptist said to Andrew and John, the beloved apostle, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they were introduced to Christ. And then Andrew went and found his brother Simon and brought him to the Savior, and he introduced him to Christ. Now, this is what is so remarkable, that it is not always ordinary men that introduce others to Christ, but it said that the Lord Jesus himself went and found Philip. The Lord Jesus personally led some to himself. Let me ask you this. Who led the woman at the well of Samaria to Christ? You say, why, he did. Why, of course he did. Who led Nicodemus to Christ? You say, why, Jesus did. Of course. So everyone can look back, if they think it through, and realize that somebody led them to Christ. Now, there are some of you who may say, I was reading the Word of God, and I found Christ as my Savior. Then it was the Spirit of God through the Word convicting you of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so just as the Lord Jesus led Philip to himself and led the woman at the well of Samaria to himself, so at times the Spirit of God will lead some to the Word and they find Christ with the help of the Spirit in the Word. But most of us are like that Ethiopian eunuch. We have the Word of God open and we are reading it, and we are not able to understand what we are reading. And then God says, go and join yourself to the man in the chariot. And that is what Philip did. And Philip said, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand the things that you're reading? He said, how can I accept somebody? Help me. And so Philip began at Isaiah 53, and that's a wonderful place to lead a man to Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's so easy to lead someone to Christ from there. And he led him to Christ, and the eunuch desired baptism. So do you understand that somebody is responsible for your trusting Christ? Do you know your spiritual father? Do you know who led you to Christ? Do you know your spiritual mother? Because Aquila and Priscilla were ever so instrumental in the hands of the Lord. But you look back, and at times there may have been a train of those that were leading you to Christ, until finally one in particular puts the question to you, will you this day trust Christ as Savior? And you say, yes, then you become a child of God. But look back, and what is difficult to do is this, to trace your spiritual genealogy back beyond the one who led you to Christ. I can tell you my spiritual father and grandfather, but I can't go any more than that. And I wanted to go and ask my spiritual grandfather who led him to Christ, but he's in heaven now, and so I'm not able to do it. But I remember Leroy Kuhlman was the one who directly brought me to Christ, and I told you about others, like Brother Edwards in Raleigh, that was trying to introduce me to Christ. But then I found out that Charlie Fouch of Atlanta, Georgia, led Leroy Kuhlman to Christ. But after that, I don't know. But think, you can go back, if you were able to trace your genealogy, and some would be able to go back to someone like John the Baptist and say, I am dependent upon his testimony to lead me to Christ. Now, can you truthfully say someone did lead me to Christ? I know Christ because I was lost and someone told me about Christ. All right. If you are saved, that's good. I told you about that last week, about the introduction of sinners to the Lord Jesus. But this week, I want to tell you about Peter's progressive pilgrimage. Peter says in his epistle that we are strangers and pilgrims. Well then, as John Bunyan spoke of the Pilgrim's Progress, so Peter expects us as pilgrims to make progress. He says this. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say you've trusted Christ as Savior? How much have you grown in grace since you've been saved? Not that you've been saved. Peter says, grow in grace. And then he tells us this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It is not whether you are saved, but how much have you grown since you trusted Christ as Savior? I was speaking to the little ones today, and one was saying that I'm 3 years old, going on four. They boast about that, thank God. They say, I'm almost six. Well, you who tell me how old you are in Christ, what spiritual progress have you made? That's what I want to know. Some of you could tell me how long you've been saved, and I would ask you questions about the Bible, and I would be ashamed of you. Why? Because you haven't grown in grace spiritually, and you haven't grown in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But thank God, Peter did. There are some things that Peter spoke to the Lord, and the things that he spoke brought forth the rebuke from the Lord. When the Savior was speaking to them in a spiritual way, and they misinterpreted, the Lord said to them, how is it that you do not understand? I was not talking about bread, but I was talking about spiritual leaven. Here are the disciples, and they don't have enough understanding to realize when the Savior was speaking literally or when he was speaking spiritually. That's the sad thing, and some of the Christians are the same way. If I told you deep things of the Word, like the Lord Jesus said, if we told you earthly things and you do not understand, how would you understand if I told you heavenly things? And that is why it is embarrassing to speak to children of God at times. Yes, they're saved, but like the author of Hebrews says, he says, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone feeds you the milk of the Word, the beginnings of Jesus Christ. And so that's the sad thing, that in Peter's life, there was progress. At times, the Lord rebuked him, but I purposely read you from two passages that are unique, because in these passages, there was one spokesman for the rest. John 6 comes before Matthew 16. But in both of them, the question is similar for this reason. When the Lord is giving deeper teachings, what happens is that those disciples that joined him at the first, when they hear what he expects of them, when he tells them things about himself that are incomprehensible to them, finally, this is what happens. They say, we've heard as much as we're going to listen to. We're through with you. And it said they turned their backs on Jesus and went away and walked no more with him. And so that's what I am concerned about, all of those that say they are Christians. Tell them the deep things of God. Give them the challenges that the Lord Jesus says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. Tell Christians those things. If you love your children more than me, you're not worthy of me. Tell Christians those things. And they don't say, oh yes, I'm ready to sacrifice all. They say it the way Peter did. But what happened was this. that Peter, in encouraging others to grow, he should encourage himself, because indeed there was growth in Peter's life. But that growth was something that only God could see. And when I hear some of the things that Peter spoke, I say, how could he speak those things? The simplest Christian knows better than that. But then I hear some of the things that Peter speaks, and instead of describing him as in Acts 4, he's an ignorant and unlearned man, I say he is the most profound one of the apostles, even beyond John. How is that? When the Savior was speaking harder and harder things for the followers to understand, it said they left him. And I want to show you that the Lord Jesus is so unlike modern evangelists and modern church builders. When the multitudes left him, there were 12 that were his faithful followers. And he turned to them and he said, will you also go away? Thank God he was expecting the answer, no, we are not. But he said, will you go away? He did not compromise. He did not require less than he expected of all the children of God. But he turned to the 12 and said, do you want to go away? And the spokesman was Peter. Thank God for that. Listen to what he said. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Do you know that there's one question that Jesus can't answer? If you ask Jesus, Lord, if I leave you, to whom shall I go? The Lord Jesus would have to say, there's no one to whom you can go. But think of that. He answered the Lord's question with a question. The Savior said, would you go away? And Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This ignorant, unlearned fisherman had listened to Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, this man has the words of eternal life. All the others that I've listened to, they had nothing. This man has the words of eternal life. And it shows that he was a thinker. He said, and we have believed, and we are sure as to who you are. And simply this. Peter says in the more ancient manuscripts in John 6, you are the Holy One of God. That's good. Because in Matthew 16 he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But in John 6, he has looked at the life of Jesus. And he says, we have believed and we are sure that you are the Holy One of God. Tell me, what do you know about the holiness of Jesus? Why, if you believe that he is holy, are you so familiar with him? I remember on one occasion, and I've never understood it, if I ask you a question, do not look at me and say, this is an old fool. But if the question seems strange, out of respect, try to find out what I'm driving at. The Lord Jesus had been jostled by the multitudes, but a woman came and touched the hem of his garment. And the Lord Jesus said, who touched my garments? And it was blasphemy for his disciples to say, you see everybody that's bumping into you, and are you asking the question, who touched your garments? That is blasphemy. If the Lord Jesus asked such a question, if it were out of place, and if it were an ignorant question, you should answer respectfully. And the Lord Jesus disregarded them, and this is what he said, somebody touched me. And then it turned out to be that woman that had an issue of blood. But that's what happens at times. But in this instance, when Peter is asked, will you go away? He says, Lord, we have believed and we are sure that you are the Holy One of God. So have you thought it through? How long have you been saved? Have you thought through your life up until now, what your life has been, and what your life is now? And when Christianity has become difficult, and the temptations have become strong, have you thought it through about going back to your old sinful life? I hope you have. Peter had. And when the Savior said, do you want to go away? Peter had thought it through. And he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's nobody that we can go to. Tell me, all of you who are religiously inclined, do you want to go to Buddha and follow him? Do you want to go to Confucius? Do you want to go to Muhammad and follow him? Do you want to go to John Smith or Brigham Young and follow them? You say, God forbid. And so Peter had thought through up to his time those to whom he could go. And he said, Lord, you are the only one that has the words of eternal life. There's no one to whom we can go. And so all of you who are tired of Christianity and you want something better, tell me something that is better than Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming to the world to save sinners, able to deliver you from sin and give you a place of certainty in heaven. Tell me anybody who can tell you that for sure. You say, nobody can. Well, then never think about leaving Jesus and going to somebody else. There's nobody else to whom you can go. He has the words of eternal life. And this ignorant, unlearned fisherman had figured it all out. He said, you've given me an opportunity to leave you. Lord, I might go if there was somebody better than you, but there's nobody else that has the words of eternal life. Tell me, who else could bear your sins in his own body on the tree? You say, nobody. Who is the only one that could prepare you a place in heaven and promise you that he's coming back and taking you there in a coming day? You say, nobody. Then put it out of your mind forever to abandon Christianity for something that's better, because there is nothing better. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Peter, this ignorant, unlearned fisherman, had made that much progress in his life. Lord, I've thought it through, and there's nobody else, and I've looked at you and the life that you have lived before me, and you are the Holy One of God. Have you settled on that? Do you know that the Lord Jesus is without sin? He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. Have you come to that conclusion? Do you know that? And if you think that somehow there is sin associated with Jesus, then you do not make the progress that Peter has made. Peter progressed and he said, you are the Holy One of God. Of course. Now, he comes later, and thank God for him again. The Lord Jesus is putting his disciples to the test. And he catches them off guard. He's in the region of Caesarea Philippi. And he says to his disciples, rather casually, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they started thinking. They said, well, we've heard some people say that you are Jeremiah. And we've heard some say that you're Elijah. And we've heard others say that you're one of the prophets. This is what I'm ashamed of Christians about. Do you know what modern men and men of the past say about the Lord Jesus? Do they say the same thing you do? Do you know which of the church fathers were heretics, which were Arians, and which were Sabellians? Do you know that? The Lord Jesus expects you to. He said, whom do men say that I am? And some say all sorts of things about the Lord Jesus. In this instance, everything that they had said about him was complimentary. If you said to me, you know, you remind me of John the Baptist, Well, he was eccentric. I don't know if I would thank you for that. But if you were to say, you remind me of Jeremiah or Elijah, I would say, thank you. Thank you. But when all of these complimentary comparisons were told the Lord Jesus, he brushed them all aside and he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter, that ignorant, unlearned fisherman, said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is more profound than you are the Holy One of God. He had seen his purity, his holiness, but now he is penetrated and he sees his deity. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has comprehended God, the Eternal One. And he says, God has a Son, and you are that Son. Now, the Lord Jesus congratulates him and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And so all of you who are trying to believe in miracles and trying to believe in the deity of Christ, it's impossible for you to believe in such a thing unless it's revealed to you by the Father. Do you not understand that God has arranged salvation in a way that's impossible for wise and prudent men to understand? The Lord Jesus said this, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it seemed pleasing in your sight. The Father hides from those that are wise and prudent and understanding. And for a babe in Christ, he reveals things to them. And so here is this ignorant and unlearned fisherman, and he has thought through the person of Christ, and he has come to the conclusion, but this time aided by the Father, that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He knows of his holiness. He knows of his purity. He knows of his eternity. He knows of his relation with the Father. He has learned all of those things. And the Lord Jesus understands where the source of his understanding was. He says, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And all of you who are trying to understand creation in contrast to evolution, you'll never understand it. It says in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the heavens were created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which appear. By faith, you cannot demonstrate it or prove it. Now, if you as God could bring something out of nothing, and if you could bring life out of death, then it could be demonstrated, but you can't do it. And so by faith we understand. And my comprehension as to who Jesus is, it has to be revealed to me of the Father. And so we pray, Father, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And this man, whom we criticize so often, is the one who had the highest conception of the Lord Jesus that is recorded in the Word of God. I rejoice in this, that after Peter expressed it, it says, and the other apostles said, yes, that's true. It's so good when a man is able to express something for what is going on in your mind, but you've never formulated it. But Peter had, and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou. And the others agreed with him. And so this is the progress that Peter had made on his pilgrimage. Have you made that much progress? Some of you have just touched the hem of his garment, and you are as much healed by Christ as the one upon whom Christ laid his hands. But what progress have you made? That's what Peter is concerned about. He says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And also, he says this, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This is what God expects you to do, to live in this book. This is God's guide to you from heaven, and he expects you to know it, to judge every decision you make in life by what is written in this book. And how much progress had Peter made? He had made enough to find out who Jesus was, but he had not made this much progress to understand that in him, in his flesh, there dwelt no good thing. Do you know how much better that old nature you were born with is today than it was when you were saved? Do you know how much better it is? None. It's worse. It doesn't say that God is trying to improve that old nature. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is what John says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You're just as sinful today in that old nature as you were the first day that you trusted Christ as Savior. Peter found that out. He understood it at first. How? When in the presence of Christ, the Lord brought about that miraculous draught of fishes. This is what Peter said. He fell at his knees and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You understand that you are a sinful man, a sinful woman, and you'll never get better. That sinful nature will pull at you until the day that you die. It says this, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Until then, that old nature is going to be with you, and that's why I see failures, and I say, why, of course, I expect that. The Lord Jesus explained it this way. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter had said, I will die for you. And he went back to Peter, and he found him asleep. And he said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? You said you were going to die for me. Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour and stay awake? The Lord Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that flesh in you gets stronger every day. And all these good intentions that you have for God, while the spirit is willing, that sinful nature is pulling and pulling and pulling. And if you let it alone, you will close your eyes and go to sleep. At times in the past, I was determined to pray a certain amount of time. And I was falling asleep. But to forbid that, and to prevent it, I would stand up and walk around while I was praying. Why? Because if I sat down, I was gone. But Peter and James and John, they were with the Savior, and they were so tired. And so the Spirit was willing, yes, we want to pray with you, Jesus. But then they went to sleep. And so all these aspirations that you have in life, that's good. The Spirit is willing. But the Lord Jesus says, the flesh is weak. And this, the same lips that said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, said this to Jesus, I don't want you to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die on the cross. Who ever heard of such a thing? How could a man who knew who Jesus was say to him, you are not to go to the cross and die, be it far from thee, Lord. The voice of Satan is being spoken through Peter's lips, just as the voice of God was spoken to them just a little while earlier. And that's why I know that in me that is in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Listen to Peter. He says, I know that, Lord. He said, but you must insist and you must teach it to me. And David knew it. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Isaiah said it, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. And so when a man gets into the presence of the Holy Son of God, the Son of the living God, then he learns what he is. And so while remembering who Jesus is, remember who you are. And just this. He tells him the reality of the continued sinful nature in him. But he tells him also of his prospects. He says, you are Peter. Do you remember the first message I gave you? He said to him in John 1, you shall be called Peter. And in Matthew 16, he says, you are Peter. Now live up to that name that I've given you. And Peter, during his lifetime, never lived up to that name. And this is what he says. He says, but if you suffer as a Christian, be not ashamed. We are Christians. Let us, by God's grace, live up to the name of Christian. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, how much you expect of us. We are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are thankful that the Spirit of God is within us and He can enable us to do your will. And that is what we desire. Our Father, never let us look upon ourselves hopelessly and say, I cannot do that, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But at the same time, let us not independently of these say, I will never sin, I will never deny you. Let us remember that in me, that is in my flesh, that dwelleth no good thing. Let us make progress as pilgrims, as Peter did, our God, and let us turn out to be the things that you expect us to be and the things that we can be. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.